So we look at our second one question. And last week we looked at suffering, pain and loss. This week is purpose and meaning. You know, can my life make a difference? And I sort of suspect that when people are asking this sort of question, they see life's current purpose as either maybe meaningless or at least limited. To ask, is there a purpose to my life, to God, is possibly seeing your current situations as maybe purposeless. You would have to have a fair assumption in that, or very limited in what they're doing. And it's interesting that in our life, we invest so much into things that we hope give us purpose. Yet often they give us a limited purpose within those things. For example, we may invest our lives in AFL, either following it or belonging to the team or being part of the favourite team in a club. And this purpose either makes us feel like winners or losers, depending on what team you're probably barracked for. But we're connected to something, we're connected to a greater purpose, which is our team. And if it wins, we feel good, and if it loses, we feel bad. Our type of work can give us a purpose and meaning. You know, having a career status makes us feel important, needed, valued. Often we change careers, actually a lot more today. A lot of people change careers in their 30s a lot more often than they used to in the old days, because people could be looking for purpose and meaning. They get to one job, find no purpose, get to another job, or they're still looking for something. They're trying to look for it in their career, their job. Look at relationships. How much people jump around, particularly more the younger people, but relationships, going through partners after partners. Could it be that within our relationships we're looking for purpose and meaning, that without them we have no purpose? Or without the next best partner or whatever it is, you know, we're looking in the relationships, and if the relationships fail to give us that purpose, then we find something else that'll give us that purpose. No different than a job, no different than our footy teams. If they start losing for a while, we'll probably change teams, because we've got to be connected to something. Often we join causes, movements, in hope to change our world, yet find nothing ever changes. We can do many good things, but what is it that is the greatest purpose? A wealthy, successful man called King Solomon also had this dilemma as he indulged his life with every possible pleasure. This man was a wealthy man. He had fine food and wine, a man that filled his life with fine women. He had 1,000 women, and he hosted the finest parties with the greatest musicians in his grand palace. And yet as he looked at his life and sees all that he's done, he considers it all meaningless. I want to read to you Ecclesiastes chapter 1. It's from King Solomon. These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the seas. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're never content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in the future generations, no one remember what we are doing now. And then Solomon goes on in chapter 2. This gets a bit more in depth. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good thing in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself up with wine, and while still seeking pleasure, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks and I filled them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reserves to collect the water to irrigate my flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my house. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any king who had ever lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold and treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women. I had beautiful concubines, which is basically live-in lovers. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Well, apart from some of the things there. Anything I wanted, I would take. I deny myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labours. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. So like Solomon, many people are left asking the question as we try to find the ultimate satisfaction. Is there any purpose to my life? Does God have a plan? Can my life make a difference? If we read Solomon and that's all we had to read in his account of life, we'd be left feeling pretty depressed and hopeless. When everything you do is meaningless to the point. But what if we are looking at things the wrong way around? What if God has a purpose and we need to start with God's purposes to see if our lives can have meaning and purpose under his purpose? The God who reveals himself to us in the words of the Bible declares to us that our lives do have purpose. However, I think we have God and ourselves often the wrong way around in how we often view this. I think that our thinking of purpose usually revolves around the idea of God's purpose to make our lives satisfying and fulfilling. Or maybe the perfect, in other words, like, you know, God, what is the perfect career for my life that I can fulfill my life and make a difference in that sense? Or maybe it's the perfect place. You know, God, what's the perfect place I can live? Or the perfect spouse? It's almost as if we're asking God to bless our little kingdom. And this is part of our problem we mentioned last week about sin and the fall. And we have lost something within us of how to relate to our God. Yet if we are asking God the question about plan and purpose for a life, we are wanting God to give us an answer because our current life seems purposeless. And we know life is short. And we want to do something that makes a difference to ourselves and others. I thought about this. Imagine if you, it's going to sound really stupid, but imagine if you were a speaker, you know, like an audio speaker, like one of those. And you sat down one day just imagine it, visualize yourself, and you sat down one day and said, why do I exist? You know, I've got knobs and plug holes and I look stylish in black, and but I feel like purposeless. Like, I know I've got some great attributes happening here, but why am I here? What am I doing? And then one day you meet the TV, okay? And you discover that your purpose is to give glory to what the TV is doing by revealing it to all people. Then you realize why you exist, why those plugs and knobs are there. Now you have a purpose. You can make a difference. You were made with a plan to enhance the sound of the TV. You were created for a purpose. See, I think what we want to believe in life is that we are the TV, when we're really the speakers. Or maybe we are trying to be the TV when we're really the speaker. We are created by God for a reason, and without him we can do nothing. So today I'd like to take us outside our usual thinking, you know, a bit like my life as a TV, and consider God's bigger purpose for both people and our world. Rather than attach things to ourselves, find ourselves attached to God. And therefore consider whether you think God's purposes can bring purpose and value and meaning to your life today, therefore resulting in you making a difference to our world. I want to turn your thinking, not upside down, but rather the right way around, to see God's purpose that gives us identity, meaning, and we can make a difference. Let's hear Jesus speak through Ephesians chapter 1. She got in the newsletter. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What is God's purpose for us? And can God's purpose give us identity, meaning, and make a difference? Ephesians 1 gives us one piece of that picture found in Jesus, the big picture. That God has a purpose for our world, and that God has a purpose for you through Jesus. The way God works is often described as mysterious sometimes, and obviously a lot of the Old Testament does seem that way. But we don't have to live in the dark wondering what God's purposes are. God's word reveals his plan and purpose. And God's big plan, seen in Ephesians, is to unite all things to Jesus. According to God, his purpose is for us to be connected to Jesus. What difference does Jesus make to our lives? Verse 7 tells us that in Jesus we have redemption through his blood. It's saying that Jesus has made a difference. Through his death on the cross, we are forgiven of sin. We no longer live in shame as if we're doing wrong from God. God has dealt with our shame. Verses 7 to 10, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom, insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things to him, things on heaven and things on earth. See, Jesus makes a difference to our life first by us being forgiven, better yet being adopted into God's family, verse 4. And this is good news, that Jesus is the promise of the Old Testament revealed in the New Testament. That God's plan and purpose is to those who are his children. Those who put their trust in Jesus, place their lives under his kingship and care. God's purpose is to give us identity as his children. Ephesians 2:18-19, for through him we have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. God's plan and purpose is to unite all things to Jesus. Like the speaker, we need to be connected to Jesus, continually connected, not just a one-off event. And as our lives are united with Jesus, we see our purpose more clearly. So we need Jesus as a starting point. Rather than being led by culture, that culture would make us to be someone who we're not meant to be, often, we accept who we are by God's creation, by who God created us, and we use our lives for his purposes. How does Jesus give us purpose? 2 Peter 1. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his glory and excellence. See, we live to give glory to our God through Jesus who has redeemed us. So rather than try to gain self-glory by pretending to be someone else, our purpose in Jesus is to reflect and give him the glory and give him the excellence. Then we discover God's purposes to be greater than our purposes. So rather than seeking glory from our careers, we desire our work to be done in such a way that it brings God glory. Rather than seeing our lives as simply consumers to enjoy, we need to see our lives the right way up. We were made to be united to Jesus, to enjoy our God and his creation. We were made to be worshippers connected to our God. Now, sometimes when we see ourselves as the TV in life, we start to view others as the speakers. It's all about us, and other people exist to enhance our lives. That's why we see this in relationships, in business, in careers, in sport. You know how we often use people, because we see ourselves as the TV and them as the speaker. But when we see God as the TV, and I'm not trying to belittle God, I'm just trying to give you an illustration here, and we see each other as the speakers, we realize we exist for his glory. And people don't exist for our glory. We start seeing clearly God's purposes for our lives, that it's not all about us, it's about Jesus. As we are connected to Jesus, it's not about our lives having control, it's about us giving control to him as king. Rather than us rebelling against him, we're submitting to him, placing our lives under him. Our lives are seeking his purposes and pleasure above our own, imitating him as king. Rather than culture as our king, how often do we imitate culture as our king? We're led by culture so much. And we can see by Solomon, it all becomes meaningless. Now, there are many times when we become a slave to culture. We pursue these things just because they're there. Yet with Jesus, we are children of God who live for his glory. We live life the right way up. We live life to give glory to him in our work, in our relationships, in our families, in our community. This is all worship as we give God worth by bringing him the glory. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own work. It is the gift of God, not a result of works so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. So when we see God's bigger plan and purpose, we find our little plans falling under his bigger purpose. For example, God is more concerned about your work reflecting his glory rather than whether you decide to be an accountant or a plumber. See, both can reflect God's glory. See, half the time we're asking God, what should I be? God says, whatever you be, do it for my glory. And it changes the thing. We don't have to worry. You know, it frees us up. You can rest in God's bigger plan, that you are that smaller detail of God's bigger plan, knowing that he has, like it says, prepared beforehand things that you are going to walk in, knowing that God is at work. Frees us up to not stress about jobs or large decisions we make, or whether they're God's will on that decision. Ask yourself, how will I display God's glory in this situation? By going in this particular direction, is it about God's glory or my own glory? Is it about me and God's got to come alongside and give me what I want? Or is it about God's glory? Does my life come under God's bigger plan and purpose, finding meaning in Jesus? Or is it all about God just fulfilling my plans, therefore making me the centre of my glory? This is the tension that we have as humans. We so easily exchange lesser glories than God to find meaning and purpose in other things, don't we? You know, King Solomon tried this and failed. The things that disappear like vapor leave us empty. And then the pursuit starts all over again. You know, it's interesting. As I did this message, I remembered once watching the Graham Norton, that guy, show. And they had Matt Damon on it. I'm not going to repeat everything he said because some of it was a bit interesting. But he was talking about for Good Will Hunting when he first got the Oscar, the Academy Award statue thing. And he was very young when he got it. He was a very young actor when he got it. And he sat there in his room
And he put this Oscar statue there that he won, put it down in front of him. And he said this on the show. And I suddenly had this kind of thing wash over me where I thought, imagine chasing that Oscar and not getting it, and then getting it finally in your 80s or your 90s with all of life left behind you and realizing what an unbelievable waste. He realized that when he had this thing that he thought was so great, it was not that great. And he's saying, I'm so glad I got that thing when I was in my 20s and realized, not in my 80s, but I would have been spending 60 odd years of my life in my career to try and get this thing that he looked at, that it was meaningless. Isn't that amazing? Someone successful as that just looked at that. We too easily exchange lesser glories for God in an attempt to find meaning and purpose in them, rather than find our purpose in the God who created us. 1 Thessalonians 2 tells us to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Can our lives make a difference? Well, individually we can do many good things. If you're a doctor, you can save life. If you're an environmentalist, you can save an animal or a tree. If you're an accountant, you can save people's money. If you're a farmer, you can feed people so they can live. You can do some good things. But most of these achievements are still limited, aren't they? Our world seems to never change, never real lasting change. You know, you can temporarily save a life, but eventually they'll die. You can temporarily save an animal, but eventually it's probably going to die or be eaten. You know, if you're a farmer, you can only feed so many people, still starve. But the kingdom of God, with Jesus King, is not like an earthly kingdom, not like other things we pursue. God's plan is to redeem all things under Jesus, to unite all people under Jesus. This is the greater purpose on earth. This is the greatest purpose on earth. Why? Because this cause and this purpose has eternal implications. And this is God's purpose for creating us. Therefore, in Jesus, your life can make a difference to people's lives as you live for Jesus, as you exhibit his love to others, as you consider others' needs rather than just focusing on yourself, as you show the transforming work that Jesus is doing in you. You can make a difference. And importantly, you can tell others about Jesus as you share God's love and a message of hope for Jesus. You can see other people restored back to God to receive that eternal life. Being God's instruments on earth, displaying his glory on earth, making a difference that's eternal. And it starts right now. However, Jesus has to first make a difference to our life. You right there, Travis? You need Jesus as king over your life. It's not simply a call to those who don't follow him, but it's a call to those who do follow him. Maybe we have the wrong view of Jesus in our life right now, that he's attached for our glory rather than your life attached to him for his glory. As part of God's purpose and plan in our world, do you realize that God's plan in Jesus is to see your life connected to his greatest purpose on earth? Do you look at God's plan in Jesus and simply say, oh, sounds good, but I really want to be the master of my life? Do you think Jesus is going to bless that without him as king? Often we're just chasing our world's lesser things only to be left wanting more. Do you say that you live for Jesus' glory, but in reality life is all about your purpose and plan to make yourself glorious? Is life all about living for your own glory, with God attached, with a hope that he will bless your little plans? Your plans have limited power, have limited success, and you need to start seeing things the right way up. You need to start seeing God the right way up. Do you trust that God has a plan to make a difference and you can be part of that plan? That's the exciting thing. See, God has a plan for our world and he invites us to be part of that. The greatest cause in the universe. God's plan to restore all things under Christ. God's plan is the greatest plan and the greatest purpose. It's greater than any efforts of peace, because God's plan does bring peace. It's greater than any humanitarian or environmental cause, because God's ultimate plan will bring humanity and environment all back together in unity. God's plan will prevail in a messed up world, and we can be part of that plan. Can you see your life with God in it, united to Jesus? That he even gives you a chance to restart your life, to come back and know him, come back and know your Creator. God calls us into a life that goes beyond our dreams, beyond our hopes, beyond our plans. God calls us to find our purpose and meaning in God's greater glory, which is found in his work that is uniting all things to Jesus. It's there, as people united to Jesus, that we find our place in God's universe. And Jesus, in Jesus, we can be part of that. God's eternal plan that really does make a difference to ourselves and our world. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have an ultimate plan. You have a purpose for our world. And often, Father, we get so focused on our little plan and purpose that we want to see you bless. But ultimately, Lord, you call us into your greater plan that has eternal implications for all who would accept and follow Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are at work, and that we are, if we're in Christ today, part of that plan, that we have a purpose in that, that we are to live to display your glory, to speak words that display your glory. And Lord, as we make decisions, Lord, we can make decisions to know that your purpose is for us to glorify you in them. Lord, we ask you to help us do that. We ask you to help us remind us of why we're here on earth. And Lord, we ask you to help us to focus on Jesus as our King. We ask through the power of the Holy Spirit you do this, the same power that is restoring our world and people to you. We pray this through Jesus, your Son. Amen.